Grab a chip and a chair. It's time for the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL. 92.5 FM, brought to you by the Best Bet Poker Rooms at Jacksonville and Orange Park. Now, the Best Bet Poker Show pals.
Happy Hump Day!
Yeah!
Hump Day!
Oh, yeah!
Hump Day!
Ooh, that's a good one! Welcome
good.
To the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDeal here with Jesse the Boss.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah!
Dustin the Great.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And Country.
Hump Day.
We got a great show for you guys tonight. Lots of fun things happening in the poker world. I know we have the meetup game coming up this weekend. So
The mug.
So if any of you are looking to play poker with, us here in the studio.
That's right.
Dustin the Great, myself. Who else is playing? We got Johnny Pham playing. We have
Jordan and Adonis.
Yeah. So any of the Best Bet Live crew or those of us hanging out here in the studio, you can come play with us. It's going to be a really fun afternoon.
You know, there's only one thing that's really not very cool about this whole mug.
That you can't play?
That I cannot play.
It's also really unfortunate for other people because it's just dead
that's
money.
Right. Yeah. I would
it's just a
blast
lose.
Something fierce in this game. You're right. It's not only bad for me, it's bad for everybody else that would be at my table.
It's bad for the economy.
Except for
of
myself.
The game.
It's really bad for everyone but me.
Fair point.
So, you know, this is the time of year where I feel like things are getting revved up. Revved up in terms of microphone use, getting revved up in terms of talking about different legislation passing and things that are going on. And we have seen so many states that are looking to legalize sports betting.
Right.
Right. I mean, it just keeps hitting. People are voting. People are passing. I feel like sports betting is going to, within the next 3 years, be legalized in every single state. You think that's...
No.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
I mean, I suppose not every single state, but most.
I think it will be legal in a substantial amount of the country, yes. But
not in Hawaii, not in Utah. Anywhere else?
Oh, I guess Florida will be legal.
Potentially.
I was going to say not in Florida, but it actually will be legal in Florida.
It will be legal in Florida, yeah.
In some fashion, yeah. So, I don't know. I think there will still be some holdouts. Utah, Hawaii.
Those are really the only two states, right? With that have zero chance.
Those are the only two states in the country that have absolutely zero forms of gaming, including they don't have a lottery, scratch offs.
Hawaii also doesn't have a lottery.
Nothing.
Okay.
They're trying to get casinos in Hawaii, but I don't think it's happened yet.
I'll go to Hawaii and work.
Yeah, ship it.
No, I don't want to be a hula dancer.
That's not the kind of work I was talking about.
That's not the kind of work. When I'm going to go, listen, it's like, is Hawaii, they don't have pole dancing, they just have hula dancing? Is that what happens?
Basically, pretty much.
And it's on the beach, though, so it's cool.
Yeah, I feel like I'm a little old for that. That ship has sailed, so we'll go ahead and skip over that one. Do you guys remember Chad Power, who was the gentleman, high-stakes poker player that back in, I believe, February was robbed for about $1 million. Somebody followed him home. Two people broke into his house, stole his safe. You remember this story from a while back earlier?
Yes.
Evidently, they found the guy. They arrested a guy for stealing about $1 million in cash and chips from Chad Power. If you don't know who he is, he made a deep run in the 2015 World Series of Poker main event. He finished 26th for about 262 and change. But he thought that he was followed from the Las Vegas Strip to his home in Henderson. He thought that people were watching him, broke into his house. So 32-year-old Brock Brewer was arrested and is now facing several felony charges, including burglary with a deadly weapon and conspiracy of a home invasion. He has three prior felonies, evidently, prior felony convictions for the same type of thing. So I don't know if the money has been recovered, if he gets that back. It's kind of a weird thing, right? Because if somebody steals cash and chips from you, there's no paper trail. So how do you actually say this is how much was taken, right? Like the guy could have taken an empty safe and he could say there was $1 million in that safe. So how do you ever recover that if it's in cash and chip format? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Also, like, who kind of actually owns the poker chips? You know, because it's almost like poker chips are on loan when you take them home. You know, you're just borrowing till you return them back in for money.
Yeah.
So if I stole 200,000 in poker chips from you, are they really your poker chips to begin with?
Mm-hmm. It's a good question.
Yeah. It's a really interesting story. I read a lot about it. And the way that they caught the guy was he took his mask off during the robbery. They said they were able to identify him by him taking down his mask while stealing the safe out of the house.
Bless his heart.
Yeah. Yeah. It was kind of an interesting story. And then there were some weird cash purchases. Like he bought a car or two in his mom's name with cash. They basically all red flags. All signs point to
yes. So he was a super smart criminal,
right,
as we find out.
Yeah, basically.
But it's just, I will say that, you know, if you were going to commit a crime like this, that would, I suppose, be the smart thing to do, which would be take chips and cash, because it is effectively like, it's not traceable.
Mm-hmm.
You start taking other things like jewelry and things like that, and you got to figure out how to get rid of it. So it is kind of an interesting dynamic as to what happened. Taking your mask off obviously was not a smart choice. Hello, COVID.
Right.
It's
funny though, that whole
safety
aspect,
first,
right.
Safety first.
They were like, we're going to go rob this house, but we don't want to catch corona. So they wore masks to break into the house. And then at some point.
And then they ran out of breath and they were like, I can't breathe.
Yeah, I think they like stole the safe. Like they actually took the
big safe.
Yeah,
they took the whole safe.
Yeah, so they took their masks off and they were like, man, this is a heavy one.
They're like, this is heavy.
And then they put their masks back on and then they get caught.
That's hilarious.
It's a really funny story. Actually.
I mean, I think it's pretty funny too.
Unless you're Chad Powers.
And they probably got COVID.
Unless you're Chad Powers. And then it's not so great. Did you guys see that the R&B, there was an R&B singer, rapper, I guess, that hit a jackpot at a casino in California? Wow. This is really funny. So hold on, let me find it so I can remember his name. So he is the cousin of Snoop Dogg.
Okay.
He was playing Penny.
D-O-double-G.
He was
playing
the Penny slots. He put in $100 and ends up hitting a $17,000 jackpot.
Juicy.
The funniest piece about this story is he does, you know, there's a little video of him or whatever, like winning the money. And the guy's worth like $14 million. And he says, he's like, I don't play dice. I don't play table games because I'm too old. And then he apologizes to his wife. He's like, the guy's like 40 years old. He apologizes to his wife for not coming home immediately after wherever he was. He was like stopping at the casino to begin with. He's like, but he was like, the dog was sick. And it's in quotations, the dog was sick. So I'm like, is like the dog, is he referring to his cousin, like Snoop Dogg? Like, was that dog like, sick?
My dog was sick?
My dog.
Or
D-O-double-G
my
or
dog
D-O
is sick.
Single
my pet.
G.
Yeah.
Right.
My pet or my dog or my Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
Right. So is it a single G or a double G?
Makes all the difference.
It totally makes a difference. And like if your dog with a single G is sick, like why are you stopping at the casino?
Right. Yeah.
Are you trying to win some money for his veterinary
bill? Buy some milk
bill?
Bones or something?
Yeah, I don't know. But I thought that was kind of funny. So
dog, that's the correct dog there on
the That is the correct gun, dog. So. Absolutely.
That's my dog.
Yes. So, all right. So I'm looking forward to the mug this weekend. It's going to be a lot of fun. Dustin, what I want to know, don't give away too many of your secrets, but do you have a strategy? Have you been thinking about this? Has it been keeping you up at night like it has been for me?
I'm really excited, too. I don't have a set strategy per se. I'll just probably play my normal game, which is very splashy and very fun.
Can I give him a hint?
I want to figure out how to play against Dustin's table.
Can I give him one hint?
Sure.
If you're playing against Dustin, this is your tip. Call.
Yeah, you got to do a lot of bluff catching against me for sure. But when people are in bluff catcher mode, you know, they make a lot of mistakes. So that's part of the game.
I feel like with that, what we should do is take a break. And when we come back, I think we should talk about bluff catching. We should talk about what that means, what it looks like. And if you're in this mug game with Dustin, I never bluff, so this isn't going to work for you guys.
We know that.
If you're in the game with Dustin, how do we implement this bluff catching? Plus, we got plenty of things to give away tonight. Dustin, tell them what we're giving away.
Giving away $20 match play bonuses on both platforms tonight, later on Twitch, and later on Facebook. And then the radio show call-in will also be a $20 match play voucher.
Fantastic. So if you're not sure what that is, this is kind of catering to anybody that might be interested in what our table games look like or want to maybe play in that room. So you put in $20 and they'll match it and give you an additional 20. So for $20, you get $40 to play with. Hopefully you take that 20 additional dollars and you spin it up, maybe pick off a little jackpot like our friend playing the penny slots. Maybe you hit a royal flush in three card poker or Ultimate Texas Hold'em. What do you get in a Royal Flush for Ultimate?
A lot.
200 to 1. Yeah, 200 to 1 up top.
Yeah, 200 to 1 up top.
So maybe that's what you do with that extra money, and that's going to be a lot of fun. If you've never played the casino games before, again, we call them casino games because they are similar and mimic Vegas style games. They're fast, they're easy, they're fun to play. You need no prior knowledge to participate in any of these games. You just walk in, be friendly with the dealer, be friendly with the staff, be friendly with the people sitting next to you. You can talk. They can assist you. The staff can assist you. And it's tons and tons of fun. So we're going to give that $20 match play voucher away later in the program. We're going to take a quick break right now, but stay with us. We'll be right back with more of the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
The Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDill here with Jesse the Boss, Dustin the Great. All right, so if you're just joining us, we've been talking a little bit about bluff catching, the mug game. If you're not familiar with what that is, it's the meetup game that's going to be happening Sunday at Orange Park. So you can come hang out and play with some of your radio personality and your Best Bet Live personality.
And we're going to play a slightly different game than is normally offered there. We're going to play 1-3 blinds just to change it up a little bit. And the buy-in is going to be $60 to $500 maximum.
I love it.
It's going to be juicy.
It's going to be juicy. And, you know, we may put some lines on who ends up with the most rebuys and who ends up with the most chips of the celebrity mug.
I love it.
I feel like I'm going to be a heavy favorite. For the rebuy.
On the rebuy.
You're kind of a favorite on both ends, oddly enough.
I mean, you're right. You're right. One facilitates the other.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're really the favorite on both.
Yeah, that's fair.
So
okay, wait a minute. Hold on. Time out. So now are we talking in terms of the most buy-ins, obviously,
Most dollars won
or most chips?
No, most dollars.
All right, because I'm like, if you rebuy like a million times and then he's only even,
right?
No. And he's amassed a huge chip stack, but he's only even with like 3K in front of him. That doesn't really work.
Happens often. I look down and I go, I have 3,000 in front of me, but I paid for all of them.
That's probably the most likely scenario.
Yeah, that happens a lot, actually. Yeah. But you can't get ahead until you get even. You know, that's part of the trick.
I mean, Hartman just said here on Twitch that he said he's going to stack Dustin with his min buy-in.
Can't do it.
I love it.
Yep. I feel 60, like it's gonna. 120, I feel like this is 240. This game is gonna be a lot of fun. I feel like people are just literally going to be playing outside of their box, which is actually really good, right? Like you're gonna come in and you're going to not play poker the way you normally. I mean, maybe you'll play poker.
Just come and have fun. If you win, you lose, but make sure you're having fun.
Yeah, but you come in, you have fun. You'll start to implement some different plays, maybe that you've never done before. You'll find yourself playing a different style of poker, which is really great, right? Because this is how you figure out how to bring in new tricks, right? How to add new tools to your toolbox, so to speak. And we know that Dustin is going to be there to facilitate with lots of chips and lots of rebuys.
Yep. Now, and like I said, if you're playing against Dustin and you're not sure what to do, make that call. If you're playing against Johnny, same.
Yeah, so what time does the meetup game start?
Now, if you're playing against Jordan or Adonis, fold.
Yeah, maybe put a little thought into it.
See,
yeah.
And if you're playing against Allie, flip a coin.
That's fair. All that checks out.
Yeah, to be fair, you just never know what Allie's going
to
do.
Yeah, whenever I play with Johnny, I try to beat Johnny into the pot with my own chips, my call chips, when he bets. I beat him into the pot with my call chips.
Yeah.
That's how you get Johnny dollars.
Yeah, call before he even has a chance to bet.
Yep. Yeah. So what time does the meetup game start?
2:00.
All right. So if you're planning on playing in the mug, it's 2 o'clock on Sunday at Orange Park. So you can't sign up early.
No.
All right. What's the purpose of the meetup game? A lot of people want to know, like, why is there a meetup game? What's going on?
Why not? I think the purpose is just really so to have fun. So our followers on social media and the radio who we talk to and see via these cameras and the airwaves have an opportunity to meet us, see us, talk to us, and play poker with us. When I say us, I'll be there, but I won't be playing.
And vice versa also, you know, like I feel like we have such a cool, like tight-knit community as far as the stream and the radio show goes.
Sure.
Like, I want to meet these people also. I talk to these people 3 times a week and most of them I've never met, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean,
I agree.
Sure, there's some of them that I meet in the room or they play in the games that I know, but, you know, the guys in the Twitch chat and stuff like that, I just want to meet them in person. So putting this thing together so that these guys can all come and sit down and meet us and we can meet them and we can have some fun and we can play some poker and do something that we all mutually enjoy.
I love it. I mean, I think it's a great idea. I really love it.
It's great. I'm excited.
It's a lot of fun.
Hopefully it's the first of many.
Yeah, I think it's going to be. I'm looking forward to...
It's a deal. I want to do
coming
something.
Coming in...
That's a great idea.
That is a great idea.
That's a bad idea.
Oh my gosh, wait a minute. Dustin.
Not happening.
Here, wait a minute. Wait, I got it. All right, we need to get Jesse in the box, Sage in the box, Mike Berry in the box. Let's get Jamie in the box.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, get us all in there dealing.
And we'll get Deb in the box. That's 5.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Great idea.
I feel like 3 might be a good idea. I'll let you decide which 3 are good and which 2 are not.
Allowed.
Yeah.
Out of those 5, who do you think is the most recent to actually pitch a card in the box? I'm going to say Sage.
Sage.
I'm going to say Sage.
Sage or Mike, for
Mike
sure.
Mike Berry, probably.
Yeah, maybe Mike.
Okay. All right, we'll put Mike in the box.
I mean, we've been doing auditions. I've been dealing in the class.
It's like riding a bike. Once you got it, you just got it.
Yeah,
I mean, good. I used to say to people when they would be coming through the dealing class that if the boss came in and sat down and picked up cards, I would stop and say, I want you to make sure that you watch what he does and do the complete opposite. No, actually, you were always a good dealer.
Yeah, I was
just
a good dealer.
Just a little crazy. A little crazy dealer. But yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about bluff catching. Because obviously this is a great way to double through Dustin, to bust Dustin, and we want to give our listeners as much opportunity as possible to be able to take your chips.
Fair.
For a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
So when we talk about bluff catching, give us a nice definition of what bluff catching is, and then we'll talk about how that works with your type of game style.
So bluff catching in a nutshell is basically when you land in a weird... Mostly, usually happens on the river. It can happen on any street, but usually it's showdown. When you look down at your hand and you have a hand that you can really only beat a bluff, you know, and that might look like a second pair, a third pair, a pocket pair that's an under pair to the board. You could have 2 pair on a board where it runs out like a 4 flush or something like that. So your opponent bets big into you. He just hammers the river and you look down and the only thing you can beat is a bluff, but you might have a weird feeling. The guy might be a maniac. You don't really know what to do. So... do you look them up or do you fold? It's one of the toughest spots in poker, and it comes up all the time.
Yeah, it literally comes up all the time, yeah. And it is a tough spot because the magnitude of that decision is so big.
And the reason for that is because the later streets, the turn in the river, are the big money streets. That's when the big bets go in. You know, so when you're facing a bet on the flop, you know it's gonna be really small in proportion to a small pot, right? Because we just have like a pre-flop raise and a call. So then we have 2 streets of betting, the flop and the turn. By the time we get to the river, the pot's substantial. So these big bets come in on the river, and you're left holding effectively just a bluff catcher, you know? And then you have to decide what to do.
So when we talk about this, so that makes sense, but what types of hands do you think you need to have? So GT Jax chimed in and talks about making sure that you have some or one of the blockers. Right. So looking up the bluff catcher, like I feel like a lot of times people misplay with what they call a bluff catcher because they feel like you're bluffing. I'm going to catch you in the bluff. And you have given off like maybe your story didn't make sense on the turn leading into the river. And so now I'm going to catch your bluff. But I don't think it's that simple to me. It's a little bit more complex, right? It's about what I'm holding. And in terms of, do I have anything in my hand that is going to basically like disassemble your bluff, right? If we're going to pull apart your bluff, do I have the cards and the ability within what I'm reading and what I'm holding to pull that apart and make it worthwhile?
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
So yeah, the blockers are really important. You definitely want to have the blockers to the hands that they represent. But sometimes having the blockers kind of works the opposite, because like, say you have the ace of hearts and the flop comes with three hearts. The ace of hearts is one of the cards that you want your opponent to have to be bluffing with, right? Just the naked ace of hearts. So sometimes when you have the ace of hearts in your own hand in those scenarios, it actually leans their hand a little more towards value and less towards bluff, because you have one of the cards that you want them to be bluffing with. Does that make sense?
And that's actually a really good point.
Yeah.
Also, sometimes it just gets you in trouble. You know, you say I had a 10 and that is one of the four 10s that you need to make a straight.
Right.
So you figure, well, I have a 10. How could you possibly have one of the other three?
Sure.
And then you make this horrible call, and what do they turn over? The one of the other three.
Yeah.
Tens.
9-10 all day.
Right. So you do have to be careful that you don't overvalue your blockers.
Right.
You have to just use that as a part of the information. A little bit of information.
Yeah. It would be better in that spot if you had two tens, because now you block 50% of the straight cards versus just 25.
And that's
huge.
Throw in a couple suits to block some of the flushes, right?
Yeah. So like a really great hand to do that. Like say the board runs out like Jack, 7-5, all hearts right on the flop, right? And you have Ace Jack offsuit with the Ace of Hearts. This is a good spot to actually bluff catch, because you actually block a lot of hands. You block the top set, you know, you block the nut flush draw, you block the top two pair, you block pocket aces. So a hand like Ace Jack offsuit with the Ace of Hearts on a three heart flop, I would call there. I would bluff catch with that hand.
Bluff catch that one?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you know, it is there is an art to it. Some people don't do it enough, but you know, like I said, usually the magnitude is so big, because it is going to be a big bet on the river, and that means a lot. So you have to be right.
Yeah, you can't give away all those rivers. You have to call sometimes.
You have to call sometimes. You have to, even if you have a bad hand, you can't give everyone away. But you, if you're incorrect, and you call, you lose a lot. If you're incorrect and you fold, you don't lose that much,
right?
But you have to call sometimes. You have to make that call,
and
it's player dependent. You know, there are certain players that are just not capable of putting in a big bluff on the river.
100%.
And then there's, you know, we talk about George, right? George is obviously capable of putting in a massive bluff on the river. Yep. The problem is he's also capable of putting in a massive value bet on the river, because he balances his range that way. So you got to come up with some reason other than just, I'm going to call this time.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. So like when you look at, like, let's say we talk about three pieces that determine whether or not you should be calling that river card as a bluff catcher. What are the three top priority things that we think about? Like, for me, I think about in terms of A, which blocker cards, not even necessarily blockers, but what cards do I have playing within his range? Like, how does my range play into his range? I guess that's the easiest way for me to describe what I'm trying to say.
Sure.
What cards do I have that make sense to play into his range that are effectively telling me that the story he's portraying is false? That's the first piece. The second piece is going to be pot size. Like, right, I don't really need to get wrapped up in worrying about bluff catching Dustin when the pot's has like $22 in it. I'm not interested in that.
Fair.
Right? Maybe the action is a little bit weird. Maybe it's a limped pot, and then, you know, we put a little bit of money in, or let's go over 100 or over 20. But let's say the pot's like 100 or less, and there's minimal amount of action. I don't have a whole lot to the story, but I feel like Dustin probably like doesn't have it here. I'm not going to spend, or I'm not going to use that moment, I don't think, for bluff catching unless it is valuable enough monetarily.
Yeah, that's fair. That makes right? sense.
So those are...
Yeah. I mean, but if it's value enough monetarily, it's also, you know, the other side of that, it can either, it can cost you a lot also.
I mean, and that's true, right?
Right.
I mean, I guess that's true. But I like to be, I don't know. I feel like I don't like to call off big bluffs when the pot's really small. So there's a huge tell for me, you guys. If the pot's really small and you just put in a massive pot size bet and you have air, you're probably going to win the pot for me like 90% of the time. Not always, but a lot. Because for me, I'm not willing to put in, you know, 2-to-1 money to catch a bluff. Like that doesn't sound fun to me.
Sure.
I don't like that.
Right. And a lot of times, you know, even if somebody's bluffing, if the pot is small and the bet is huge, it's, you know, it's just not worth it because you're not going to have that situation come up enough.
Yeah. You could pick a better spot.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Sometimes in those places. To an extent, you don't want to be in that spot where you're giving away too many of those river spots. It's mostly player dependent. It's kind of ties back into what you said. It's really player dependent on, does this opponent, can they have a bluff here? Can they just ever have bluffs? Like sometimes, like you said, like really value oriented players, they just don't have bluffs in a lot of these spots because these scary runouts, when they think that you can have it too, they'll check back a lot of the times or they'll check to you.
Yeah.
They might even try to bluff because they might check call, you know. But a lot of times they won't put in that bet on that scary run out where it brings the four flush or brings the one liner to the straight or something like that. So it's very, very, very player dependent.
Yeah. So when they do bet, they actually are not bluffing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Also, you know, you gotta, the story has to check out. Story's got to check out. You got to replay the story from the beginning of the hand. When they bet the river, does it make sense for them to make that big bet on the river? You know, did they flop a hand? Do they still have a hand? Did they make a hand on the river? Or do they still have what you think they had on the flop, which was, you know, a draw or something other than a made hand?
Yeah, and I think that the story piece is pretty important, and I love that we need to take a quick break. But when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about the story and how to use that. Like, we talk about the story making sense, but how to conversely use that on the flip side when you're actually bluffing and how to take a story, or excuse me, when you're actually not bluffing and how to take a story and make it look like a bluff, right? Because you can conversely flip that story. And I feel like a lot of times people look at a story and say, or look at a poker hand and they say, does the story make sense? But do we ever really look at it and go, this story doesn't make sense, but does it not making sense actually in turn make sense, right? And that sounds a little confusing, but it definitely has a place. Definitely has a place. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, don't forget we got those $20 match play vouchers to give away. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more of the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
The Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDeal here with Jesse the Boss, Dustin the Great, and Country, of course, helping us out in the booth tonight. If you guys are just joining us, we're talking about the Mug, the meetup game that's happening this Sunday, 2 o'clock p.m. over in Orange Park. First come, first serve. If you want to play in any of these games, there will be five fun tables. Five, right?
We got a couple other available. We can go up to seven.
A minimum of five.
I mean, there's five of us, and we have a couple of our dealers, I think, that are going to want to come play. So if we have to, we'll use seven. But there's five true celebrities and a couple dealer celebrities.
Celebrities might be a stretch, but five personalities.
Personalities is a better term, I think.
You have Dustin, Adonis, Jordan, Johnny, Fantastic, and myself, who will all be over at the card room, and we're going to play some 1-3, so a little bit of a different type of structure. 1-3, no limit hold'em, buy-in ranging from, what'd you say, 80?
60.
60.
60 to 500.
60 to 500, so a nice big spread. You come out and play with us, and basically what this looks like is every 30 minutes when the dealer changes, you will have each of the five personality that will change tables. So you'll have the opportunity to play with each and every one of us, provided that you stay there for, what would that be, 2.5 hours? If you're there for 2.5 hours, you'll get the opportunity to play with each and every one of us without ever having to move, which would be a lot of fun.
I think it's a great setup. I think that that system works great.
It'd be so much fun.
And we'll play for about 4 hours. And then if you want to play longer, it's a poker game in a poker room.
You just continue to play.
You just continue to play.
It's pretty unlikely I'll be leaving at 6. I'm not going
to
lie.
We'll force you guys to play for about 4 hours.
I feel like, and again, I feel like in this next meetup game, I definitely feel like there should be some end, like a 30-minute fire-off session that the five of us or seven or however many of us there are that come together.
Play against each other.
And play against each other. There needs to be a runoff.
I like it. That's called the 5-10 game that goes later.
I'll be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be there. So win big in the 1-3 game so you can jump up and play 5-10.
Yeah, take it all to the 5-10 game. That's right. Just try to parlay it up, you know?
Parlay,
just
keep, yeah, parlay.
Keep going.
This is a great opportunity for you to come in with $60, run it up, and then smash it in the 5-10
stack
game.
Stack me a bunch of times.
Stack Dustin in the 5-10 game because that's where you really want to stack it and be like, I bought in for $60 and I went home with like $10K.
Parlay. The ultimate parlay. Yeah.
Absolutely
Could
perfect.
Easy. We've had a lot of 5-10 games at OP also.
Yeah, they've been good.
A lot of 5-10, no limit hold'em. Both properties.
All right, so we're playing 5-10. We're playing the meetup game. We're playing watching the bluff catching. And what else do we need to know, Dustin? What are some tips?
Let me say one more thing about the bluff catching that we didn't really talk about. You know, we talked about it is player dependent. The story has to check out. Those things are vitally important. Also, you know, we're talking about live poker, so you have to have some sort of live reads in there also. You know, if somebody did something or has some sort of tell to where you think that's not their normal action when they – that's not how they bet when they have something or whatever, or they – whatever your tell is on that person that leads you to believe that they're bluffing, I think that is a big piece of it.
Yeah, bet sizing tells are huge, you know? Like,
if he
had this hand – why would he bet this much? Or if he had this hand, would he bet this much? Or if he had this hand, he would check, you know, like if he had aces on this really bad board, he would check, you know, he's not going to triple barrel when it's, you know, the board runs out a certain way. Like, so you're right. Bet sizing tells and how they deviate from what they normally do in the game is also a big indication of whether or not you're good.
And, you know, Dustin and I were talking about something when we were on break that comes up a lot lately. Is that people now have this idea, which I think is kind of a fairly new thing in the last decade. If you have zero showdown value, you have to bet. Otherwise,
how are you going to win the pot?
You lose the pot 100% of the time.
Right.
And if you think that the player you're playing against has a hand with zero showdown value,
all you have to do is raise.
Or just call on the river.
Yeah, I mean, or just
if you have something, you can just call.
Yeah, you just call.
Yeah, that winds up a lot. Jesse and I actually talked about a hand, and sometimes you just get to the river and you go, "This guy would never bet with any kind of value." Like he was just
right,
and he would probably check ace high because he has showdown value. So that leaves him somewhere in the land of no value and no showdown value at all. So
right,
it's a pretty good spot to snap call.
Yeah, you know? That's a good, I feel like that's a good piece of advice.
Yeah, this is the one thing you have to understand. If somebody makes a huge bet on the river,
doesn't mean they have it.
It doesn't mean they have it, but it's either everything or nothing.
Right.
Polarizing. Very right. Polarizing.
Very, very polarized. Either they have the nuts or they have absolutely nothing.
They have total air.
You know what's funny is like I don't have a lot of that in my repertoire, so I'm going to probably implement that when at the mug game on Sunday. I don't do that very often where I make a massive like pot size bet with either the absolute nuts or with complete air.
I'm
not that polarized in terms of playing.
My bluffs are a standard bet size and my values are a standard bet size.
Yeah. Pretty much.
I did it the other day for a giant pile of chips and got snap called.
And how did that work for you?
Oops. It resulted in a net loss. It resulted in a net loss of chips. We got them back. We always do. But in the short term, it resulted in a net loss.
So speaking of that, we were talking about stories checking out prior to going on break. So, you know, looking up and knowing whether or not you should be calling somebody, especially in terms of talking about bluff catching, can you catch them in a story that doesn't make sense? If Dustin's telling some crazy story, which it sounds like he was, and then gets to the end and fires in a huge bet, should you be calling? Does that story make sense, right? Now, conversely, I feel like we always talk about make sure that your story makes sense, right? That's how you get max value. Make sure that it makes sense. But if you are sitting, if you're sitting on the nuts, right? Make the best hand possible. How do you flip that and turn it into making your story look so crazy and make no sense that you get max value out of people calling? And do you think about it on that side? Because I don't, I'll be honest. I mean, I do, but it's a little bit different. I don't think about it in terms of does my story make sense? I think about it in terms of how can I bet and do X to extract the most amount of money. But do you ever look at it, Dustin, and be like, okay, I need to tell this particular story because right now, you know, you're dealt pocket aces, you flop, the flop comes ace, ace, deuce.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Like maybe get a heart draw, maybe you turn a heart, which sure. is fantastic. So how do I make this look like it's one thing?
Right, got to make it look like a bluff. That's hard.
I got to make it look like a bluff. Instead it's of difficult. Making a bluff look like it's a standard hand,
right.
making a standard hand look like a bluff, I feel like it's more difficult to go that route than the other route, as silly as that might sound.
Yeah, one tactic that I kind of use a lot in that spot, I know exactly what you're talking about. Say that you have a hand like pocket eights, right? You raise pocket eights preflop, the flop comes like queen, queen, deuce with like two spades, right? So then it gets checked to you and you continuation bet, pretty standard, right? And then you just turn an eight right on the turn, but it's not the eight of spades, like the eight of diamonds right on the turn. So now you just made a full house. So guy checks to you, you check back, making it look like you're on a spade draw or something like that, you know? So then the river comes and it doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. Say the spades don't come on the river. The opponent checks to you and you just pile in a bunch of chips, you know, to make it look like you missed the spade draw. Like spots like that is where you're going.
Yeah. Over bet it to make it look like it's got to be a bluff.
Yeah. 100%. I use those spots pretty often.
I feel like those are, but with drawing hands, it's one thing. If you're not talking about a drawing hand, it's a little bit more difficult. Where
it's
I feel
hard,
like
yeah.
if you're pulling a bluff, you see every angle of what it potentially could look like in your hand, what you have. And it's probably because, let's be honest, we bluff more than we're actually like making the nuts and trying to downplay our hand. So it's a little bit.
It doesn't happen very often.
Right. It doesn't happen as often. So we're a little bit more skilled in saying, okay, I have absolutely nothing. Let me make it look like I have something versus I have everything and I need to make it look like I have nothing. And I agree. I think that when you have a drawing hand, that's pretty easy to do. But when there's not a lot of draws out there, what does that look like? It's tough.
It's very tough.
I mean, unless you have a hand like you're coming in crazy with like 10-5 offsuit, and then it's pretty easy because nobody's going to put you on that hand anyway, so it doesn't matter.
You know, if you have top two and the board pairs one of the top two and there's no other straights or flushes or anything out there, you have so much of it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's hard to get any value because what could anybody have? So you can't like put in this massive bet because nobody's going to call because they don't have anything.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to make it look like you're trying to, get away with something with a smaller bet that you're, scared that might get called. So you don't want to put in too much money, something like that.
Overspent.
And usually there's nothing you can do. You just can't, you know,
right.
when you have so much of the board. You know, whatever, you just put some money in and hope somebody looks you up.
You know, when we see that a lot, we say that a lot on the live stream because you can see both players' hands.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's really easy to, you know, when somebody tells you a hand history or you talk about a poker hand with somebody, but you don't know the other opponent's cards and, you know, they're like, oh man, I had something like that. Like I had top two pair and then like I turned, you know, I made a full house. And then on the live stream, the other guy, like he's got absolutely nothing. He can like just never call.
Right.
The guy that's betting is just like beating himself up, like, oh man, I played this hand so bad. I couldn't get any value. What could he have? And the other guy's got air.
He's like literally
yeah,
he's
nothing,
like
nothing.
Yeah, he's like, if you just blink at me, I'm folding.
Yeah, he's got total dust. Yeah. And the one guy's just agonizing over how he lost
value. I have four high.
Right. I've got total
literally
dust.
Nothing.
Yeah. That we see that a lot on live stream. It's kinda like the flop that you said when you have pocket aces, the flop comes ace, ace, deuce. What can you get value from in that spot?
Yeah,
that's
the
so
check it to the river and hope you get called.
Yeah, hope they catch up.
Yeah, check it to the river and hope somebody catches up. Yeah.
So with that being the case, would it stand to reason that this is why you play like 10-5 offsuit like aces? Because when you hit the flop, you want to make it look like you have aces. So when the flop comes, ace, ace, deuce, and you have 10-5 off, you just get to pound it like you have pocket aces and hope everybody folds?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
I guess. I don't play a lot of 10-5 off, but I get the logic there. It makes sense. It does make sense.
What are you talking about? It's Yozark Mark. What do you mean you don't play that hand?
I can't
much?
Play it like he does.
I feel like, well, you, yeah. the only way to play it is if you are Ozark Mark.
Yeah, that's true. Only way to play it.
Shout out to Ozark Mark.
Right, exactly.
Wherever you are.
Wherever you are, honey.
Yeah, you know, a lot of hands you need to play and in your mind tell yourself, okay, I have aces this hand. I'm going to play it like
play it like
aces.
Mm-hmm. Only way to win.
But not 10-5.
That's not the advice I gave to Ozark Mark. I told him, if you're going to play that hand, you play it like aces and you pound it like aces from the beginning to the end of the hand never take your foot off the gas. I feel like he's gone broke with that hand a lot, so I might need to go back and revisit
not
my
against
coaching.
Me. Not against me.
No, he gets you.
Sorry, that was my coaching. That's what happened there.
Yeah.
All right, so I just took Jade to Auburn for orientation. She went through Camp War Eagle.
War Damn Eagle
on Monday. And one of her, so we go, we see the campus, we see the dorm she's going to be in and all this stuff. And one of her very first questions she says is she goes, you think that room is going to be big enough for us to play poker in?
Atta girl.
And I was like, this is fantastic. So kids, parents, tell your kids, if they want to pay for college, this is a great way to do it.
That's a great idea.
This is a great way to get through it, right? Of age, you're old enough, you can sit around, you play. And then I was thinking, I said, well, you know, I don't know what it's like about being in each other's dorm rooms, but there's got to be some common area in space.
Yeah.
So then Jade starts saying, well, maybe we can play, you know, kind of like Zoom type poker. Like she said, is there an app where we can just sit in our dorms and play with each other from like dorm to dorm?
Get out of there. Beds anyway, but they want to talk to each other on social media.
They don't want to put their phones down.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're like, I want to hold my phone. I want to be able to do this. So here's my dorm. There's your dorm. It's fine. You don't want to walk 15 feet to come to my room, but let's get on this and play, right? And I think that's pretty cool.
There's got to be a poker club or someplace they can find a table.
There's not a lot of poker clubs, and that's kind of where I'm going with this, is I feel like that's going to be my new mission.
I'm going
now
back to college.
Literally, now that I have a daughter that's going into college, I am going to just start. I feel like I'm going to start a new business, and it's going to be opening poker clubs in universities.
It's a good one.
Just take
the risk. That's what I'm going to do from now until the end of time.
Yeah, I love it.
I love it. All right, we need to take a quick break, but when we come back, we got that $20 match play voucher to give away. Plus, we'll put a wrap on the show and talk all things promotions. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDill here with Jesse the Boss, Dustin the Great, wrapping up the program. All right, we got that $20 match play voucher to give out right now. If you're not familiar with what that is, it works like this. You go into either card room, put up $20. They're going to give you $20 and match it. You'll start with $40. You can play any of the casino-style games. So any of the pick games, one-card poker, two-card poker, three-card poker, Ultimate Texas Hold'em, Pie Gal.
High Card Flush.
And DJ Wild. So those are the games right now that you can play, any of those. We're looking forward to seeing you in there and running this up. Hopefully you'll call us and tell us that you took that $20 match play voucher, hit Royal Flush in Ultimate Texas Hold'em, and spun it into like 17,000, which would be spectacular.
Awesome. That would be
so
awesome.
So 641-1010, 641-1010 is the phone number, and we will take the second caller right now. 641-1010, you'll pick up that $20 match play voucher that is good at either property. So lots of things going on as we talk about promotions and things coming up. Friday, day after tomorrow, at either property, $1,200 high hands. You can play Jacksonville or Orange Park from 2 to midnight, $1,200 high hands at both properties. That's going to be a lot of fun. I know the Car Player Poker Tour is coming up here. Starts, kicks off June 17th, I believe. Looks like 12 total events, with the main event featuring Boss Man Fired Out.
Main event is a $2,500 buy-in main event, which starts June 25th. It's going to be a big one. It's a great time slot.
Trying to break a million.
Yeah.
We got so close last time.
I think we'll break a million in the prize pool. I think we'll get there. So check out the Card Player Poker Tour. Check out everything on the website for all the events. It is going to be a good one. It's going to be a lot of fun. But we have a new promotion that we're going to start in June that we haven't done for a while, and I don't even think it's posted on the website yet. The Race to a Race is coming back.
Race so
starting,
to a Race.
Starting June 1st, all hands will be on the board, all the straight flushes and all the quads. I think that's 40 different hands, if I can do my math pretty quick. I don't know, something like that. Anyway, no, it's $40,000. It's 53 hands. We're giving away $40,000, starting with 200, and as the hands come off the board, they come off the board. So every hand you hit is worth money until they're all off the board. The last one hit is worth $10,000. And my guess is it'll take 2 weeks.
This has been a great promotion.
It might. Well, I mean, we've been really busy. It should go under.
Yeah. It's great because it runs all day.
It's all day, yeah. It starts the 1st at noon and runs all day.
I love it. Also, don't forget to mark your calendars. The next 1010XL main event will be on July 7th. Put it on your calendar now. We know that's $110 buy-in. We do this quarterly. You get 5 bounties. Knock any of those bounties out, and you get $110 back on the spot. Boss man, real quick, do you remember what our highest number was?
I think it was
363.
So we're looking to beat that. Put it on your calendar, July 7th. For all other information, you can go to bestbetjacks.com. That's going to do it for us tonight, but don't go anywhere. End of the night with Rick Ballew is coming up next. For Jesse the Boss, Dustin the Great, and Country, I'm Allie McDeal saying, until next time, we hope to see you at the final table.